So today is a special day. Like we announced earlier, we are focusing on the missions trip we were able to go on about a month ago. Back in March, we were able to go visit our missionaries, Britt and Jody Harmon, down in Guatemala. And we had a team of, how many did we have? 12 something?
What's
that?
13.
Okay, 13. And so we're just going to share a deal about what the trip was like, what that all involved. But I want to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, David writes this. He says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." And so what we kind of hope that might come from this today is that not only are you guys become informed of what the trip was like, you will hear lots of different stories, whether it's about the travel, whether it was about the blisters we incurred, whether it was about, you know, the meeting of the people and that sort of thing. You guys will be informed of what it was like to be down there in Guatemala visiting with the missionaries. But also we would like to, our hope is that through this, God might open some hearts. The interesting story to me about the Harmons is, and about so many other missionaries, is how God uses ordinary people. And God pulls ordinary people out of their lives to use them for missions when they're willing to humble themselves and go. And if you think of it, Jesus' disciples all pretty much had jobs, had careers going when he came along and said, "Follow me." And the Harmons kind of in that. We being able to talk to him about the business that he had before feeling that call. And they were just willing to follow God's call and go to Guatemala as a family. And so may God open hearts today to say, hey, maybe me. Maybe God is calling me to join the mission field, to go and spread the good news of the love of God that we just sang about, that God wants everybody to hear. And so Becca's going to start us off here with sharing a little bit, and then we have a few others that are going to share as well.
All right. Well, good morning. I'm just going to kind of give a little recap of the mission trip, but I'm thankful for how God uses us on the mission trip, despite my fears. I hadn't been on a mission trip since college, and I had to admit that I was a little apprehensive. Leaving our kids was hard, but my mom was great with them. I was also a little nervous about leaving the country and going through customs, but that all ended up going fine. And third, I was a little nervous about having late night plane rides, time change, and because I like my sleep. But despite all that, God was definitely with us. It seemed to me that he gave extra strength and stamina, especially as we worked hard on Monday and Tuesday were long days. Even by the end of Tuesday afternoon, I was questioning whether or not I would survive the week, to be honest. I was tired and sore, and I did a lot of praying. Help me to be kind. So Monday we drove up to Prayer Mountain, and I have decided that the reason they call it Prayer Mountain is because you pray on the drive that you will not fall off the mountain before you get there. And it did not matter if it was Eric driving or Britt. Both needed prayer. So at Prayer Mountain, we worked on building a goat pen, a retaining wall, leveling some ground for a building, various other things. I'm hoping that the slideshow that is coming shows pictures of all the ladies tying down trees, because that was pretty impressive. And then on Tuesday, we went to visit an orphanage, and we worked with on their farm digging some holes for some coffee bean trees. And that was just a lot. I mean, you know, this motion over and over and over again for 5 hours. I could not believe we could move the next day, to be honest. I was surprised, but I think that was just God's grace working. So Wednesday was a little bit more relaxed. We went around, did a little sightseeing, got some amazing coffee, did a little shopping. That was a fun day. Thursday, we went back up to Prayer Mountain and finished those projects that we had started. Friday, we met some friends of the Harmons and got ready to come back home. It was quick, but I hope that its impact will stay with me for a long time. I hope we were an encouragement to the Harmons. They were so generous letting us stay with their house and feeding us and just letting us be in their space for an entire week, you know, always there. Just like Dustin said, missionaries are just regular people who've chosen to serve God in a different country. Another note, their son Lincoln, he's a very special kid, and I was encouraged to see how well our teams did with him. They were so patient and kind and loving, and just a real testimony to the church here that we have such great teams. Good job, guys. this missions trip also gave me just a personal connection to Britt and Jody's ministry, and I feel better equipped to pray for them now.
All right. So just a few things that I would like to share, too, as well from the trip. First of all, I wasn't hesitant to leave our kids at all, so I was okay with that. And that's just because I have full confidence in my mother-in-law. That's what she might be watching, so I just wanted to say that. But for me, it was a great experience getting to interact with the missionaries and even some local pastors down there, and just to see and experience that. But I'm like a history guy. I enjoy old things. And so to me, one of the things that stuck out the most was the old town of Antigua, which was established, I think, in the 1600s. But in the 1700s, there was an earthquake that pretty much leveled the town. And they rebuilt, but they left some of the rubble, the ruins there. And it's kind of an attraction for travelers and tourists and that sort of thing. And so it was cool to see part of the old, what they built around, what used to be there. And as we were walking in and around the town, there was all kinds of different shops, and there was one hole-in-the-wall shop, I guess is what you could call it. It looked almost like you were going into an alley. It was dark. It was a shoe shop. And so we walked in there, and we didn't spend much time in there, but it wasn't like here's your Nike outlet or your Adidas shoe outlet, that sort of thing. These were handmade shoes. And like you walk into this, what looked like a kind of an alleyway thing, but it was like beautiful inside. Like they had spent time, they had spent effort, they cared about their shop and their shoes. There were several shoes that were kind of under glass. Like it looked like, you know, you would protect the crown jewels with like security stuff. That's kind of what it looked like. But I did notice that on the wall, they had this written as they kind of had the history of their shoe shop and that sort of thing. They said, "We believe in the value of handmade goods created in a thoughtful way." And just seeing that and seeing the shoes and the effort and the detail they put into it, it was just a clear reminder of the image of God in man to be thoughtful, to put work, to put detail into things. And it just a reminder of the detail that God has put into his creation and how much he cares for each and every person that he has created. And again, it's just an echo, a reminder of the call to go and share the gospel with all creation, because this is God's created beautiful thing that he's done, and the people that he has created and he's loved and put time and effort into. And that was just one of the things that stuck out to me. But at this time, we'll open it up for the rest of our crew to share their experience as well. Who's first?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, while in Guatemala, I learned about the importance of helping others around me and how it can make a positive effect for everyone. From working on Prayer Mountain to helping in an orphanage, I was able to be in a variety of situations that benefited others by showing God's grace and love. I was also able to see so many more things than I could have imagined, and it helped me realize there are other people around me that need God's love rather than just friends and family. It helped me to see that instead of being upset over one little thing I don't have, to thank God for all the amazing things I do have because of how he incredibly blessed me. As I am growing my faith, this trip has helped me to challenge me, and I can take that extra step to show my faith to God. I was also really nervous before the trip, thinking about all the millions of things that could happen because I think Connie said something about gangs right before we left, so. But God was protecting our group the whole time, and I know He had control through it all. And I encourage you to challenge yourself and step out of your comfort zone to do something that will show your faith and courage through God. And if that's not enough, the McDonald's down there was also really good, so.
Two nervous ones up here now.
Spending a week in a different country is truly an eye-opener. We have it so easy here compared to the people living in Guatemala. They struggle with so much that we never have to deal with here. It truly just shows me how blessed I am. I have all the essentials for life, a great family, and most importantly, a relationship with God. I feel God's presence every day, and one of the goals going on the trip was to make people feel God the way that Christians do every day. I truly believe that our team was able to do that on our trip, whether it was doing physical labor for people in need or just showing our support. I believe we were able to change many people's lives. As a teenager trying to better my faith in the Lord, I truly believe this trip was a great step in the right direction. It truly showed me to be grateful for everything I have, even the little things. I think my highlight of the trip was walking to the orphanage. The second we turned the corner, all the kids came running, and this little boy just ran straight into my arms. You could tell they didn't get visitors very often, so being able to see us made their day. It was just so great to see them smile. These poor kids go through so much, so it warmed my heart to know that we were giving them a reason to smile and making their day better. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to go on this trip and thankful for all the memories and lessons that I've gathered.
So just to add a little bit there, when we walked around the corner of the orphanage, all the kids started coming running towards us, and this little boy was like aimed right at us, and I was like, oh, he's going to come and give me a hug, and he ran right past me and threw himself at Emma. So I was like, okay, well, I know how I rate down there, so he was more interested in Emma. I very quickly threw something together as well, and I want to say, like, obviously you guys have experienced this as well, but the devil wants to push us down and tell us that he wants to put things in our way. And for those of you who don't know me, I am type A. My favorite saying is, I've got a spreadsheet for that. I've got a list for that. I'm type A. So the devil really knew how to get at me. Semi-cold showers, not getting enough sleep because the bed wasn't comfortable, the little hiccup in scheduling on our way home and things that we weren't expecting at the airport. And it was the devil saying, I'm not letting you take away from this trip what you should take away from this trip. So, but to share a little bit, we take, and you know, this is the typical missions trip, speech. But we take our family and our friends for granted. We take everything here in the U.S. for granted. We can press a button and have something at our house the next day. We take all of that for granted. But I think most of all, for me, I take God for granted. I grew up in a Christian home with great parents. I went to a Christian church. I actually grew up in the church here. I went to a Christian school. So I take God for granted. I have a cushy life. I don't struggle with a whole lot. The struggle down there was so surreal to see people in the streets. So silly, but we take our floors for granted. People have dirt floors down there. We take things, so little things, for granted that we just, you know, we just assume that we have. You know, we just don't think about the things that we're given. This is for me as well, but I have to open my eyes here in the U.S. and look around us. Who needs help? Is it a lady in a wheelchair who can't reach the top shelf of the grocery store? Is that like your ministry for that day? We take so much for granted. We just have to look around, stop being so self-centered. You don't have to go to a third world country to help others, to reach out to family, to friends. We were on a walk the one morning with the girls were on a walk around the development, and I said, I think I'm taking from this trip that I don't give to my family. I don't call them or text them. I don't spend enough time with them. I take them for granted. I take God for granted. And we're given everything here. And I why am I afraid to text my family? Or why am I afraid to reach out to those in my past, my friends that I've lost touch with? I think that was a big eye-opener for me. I take my family and my friends for granted, and I have so much to give because God has blessed me so much. God blessed me with being raised in a Christian home and attending a Christian church, and even our church family here. Like, we're blessed with so much. God blessed us with so much, and yet I'm so hesitant to bless others. So that's one thing I took away from the missions trip, and just putting myself out there for family and friends, and being able to reach out to those in need around us. Simple things, the people that you run into every day. So, thank you.
Braden can come up a while, too. We were lucky to take Braden with us. We were going to have 12 people on our trip, and at the last minute, Braden decided that he would like to go because he was home and he wasn't in Wyoming or he wasn't working or different places like that, so he was able to go with us also. So we had 13 on our trip. I think the biggest thing, and I'm not going to have it up from a takeaway standpoint, but one thing that was really neat, and I want to encourage the rest of you that have thought of going on a missions trip but never pulled the trigger, we don't always have to do missions trips that require us to dig how many holes? I don't know. We dug a lot of holes one day, and it wasn't with an auger, okay? It was with a pick and shovels. And they had to be 16 by 16 by 16, okay, so that they had these perfect square holes for coffee plants. You don't have to go on a missions trip and do physical work. Missions trips can have so many different positive things that you can do just to go. And I think the biggest thing is the takeaway of how we minister to the missionary while we're there. And that's a big deal. You don't realize, you know, we have our community here, we have our families, we have our friends, and the Harmons are in Guatemala. I do believe they're very fortunate to come home more often than some missionaries do, and that's awesome. But, you know, they're in Guatemala working their ministry. You know, we worked with Barry and Marquita Staley, right? They're also some of our missionaries that we support on the back wall back there. They're an older couple that Barry came out to Prayer Mountain one day with us, and it was great to have him. He was in construction before he went to be a missionary in Guatemala. You know, he told us stories about being a contractor in New Jersey. But he came, and he helped us build the retaining wall or the block wall. You know, he was a great help. But we got to connect with Barry while we were there. And then House of Hope is another one that we tend to connect with while we're there. We do support House of Hope, the orphanage, and Diane and Justin, her husband now, he's pretty much retired and living there now. But to hear Diane's story, her first husband died. She lost two kids. And she's in Guatemala as a missionary, you know, because she just felt God's heart, God pulling her there to have a ministry and have an orphanage there. And yet, you know, the things that she's gone through, you know, to say that she could have gave up a long time ago. She could have said, I've had enough. You know, God took my husband. God took my son. God took my daughter, all while they were teenagers, you know. And yet she is there serving in Guatemala. So I think a lot of what we do is an encouragement to them also. And I think that's what you have to keep in mind, you know, that you might not, you know, 60 years old, 70 years old, you're not too old to go to Guatemala. You can travel. You don't have to dig holes. You don't have to go to, you know, build walls on Prayer Mountain or whatever it is, you know, you can be there just to be an encouragement to the missionaries that are there.
Wolf stole part of my thunder there. It's all good. This was mine and Eric's 8th trip to Guatemala. Brent and Jody have been there 12 years, so we've kind of made it a point to visit with them, sometimes for fun and sometimes with a group. And I think it is amazing to see a group of 13 of us go. That it's awesome to watch others experience Guatemala the way we have gotten to. And that is huge for me. And I think one of the biggest points that I took home is watching Diane and Justin and the way that they love on the kids. They give the definition of orphanage a brand new meaning. Their orphanage is clean. It is beautiful. There are toys. There's laughter. The kids are ministered to spiritually, educationally. They have healthy snacks, healthy food. Diane is a champion for those kiddos, and she is fighting for them from the minute they cross her doorstep. Her goal is to reunite them with family of some sort, and if not, she fights for placement for those kiddos. And Guatemala is closed for adoption, so all of the adopted kids need to go to homes in Guatemala right now. And she's a force of nature, and it was a blessing to work alongside her and Justin, and even if it was manual labor this time and digging lots and lots of holes.
So, like my dad said, I was number 13. I was either the burden to come with or I was the lucky one. It was a lot of fun. One of my favorite things to do down in Guatemala are the food baskets. We did not get to fully complete the task of handing them out this time, but from past trips that I've been able to go on, it is truly a blessing to walk into somebody's home and see that we are bringing them the meal for the night that they may not have known where it was going to come from. Just seeing the smiles on their faces and that we're able to provide things like that and just be there. So, thank you.
So this was my second trip to Guatemala this year, so I kind of knew what I was getting into, but it was a lot of fun, and God got to use my skills in a positive way, like building a wall or digging holes, something that I'm familiar with, but yeah, it's definitely a good experience, and just seeing how the Lord works in the Harmon's life is definitely motivating and pushes me, so... It was a fun trip.
Anyone else? Good morning, NABC. Britt and Jody here from Antigua, Guatemala. And we just want to take a minute to thank you guys for sending down that team that you sent down back in March. We just want to thank the people who came down on the team because we understand that it's a sacrifice for you guys to take off work, to pay for the flights, and to find people to babysit your kids and take them to the dentist or whatever it is that has to happen the week that you're here. But we really, really appreciate it. And for people who weren't able to make the trip down, there's always next time. And we'd love to see more people coming down. But for those of you who couldn't come down this time, we really appreciate the behind-the-scenes things that you do, like praying and planning and giving financially and just all of those kinds of things. When the team was down here, they built a barn for our goat/sheep animals. They dug holes, they moved dirt, they bought food for food baskets that we were able to give out actually after you guys left, but you brought down commentaries and Bibles and what else, how you built a wall while you were down here, which I think actually today is the day that the wall is going to be finished. So, we just really appreciate all of that stuff. But more than all of that, what we really appreciate is when you send down a team that's like an organized team from your church, it just says to us that Britt and Jody, we've got your backs, and you're not in this alone. And we don't just support you financially, but we support you with our prayers. We support you with just a shared vision of what's going on down here. And so we just really, really thank you all for that. Pastor Todd, Pastor Dustin, everybody who was on the team, everybody back there at NABC, we just want to thank you guys so much for everything that you do for us.
Thank you.
Well, hey, my heart echoes a lot of what was shared, and just pray that you were blessed and encouraged and challenged by that. We want to be able to share just a bit of our experience, not only to give a report, but also to spark a fire in you. What I want to do just for the next few minutes, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As you're turning there, I messaged Jody after they sent the video, and I said, you were allowed to talk in the video, and she said that if she did, she would be talking for probably 35, 40 minutes, and she knew we didn't have that much time, because she is just very grateful for the opportunity that we have to come down and be with their family, to encourage them, and to share in the work that they're a part of. And one of the things that stuck out to me this trip, more than the last two trips that I had been on, was the idea of the partnerships and networking that they are involved with the work in and around Antigua. And it made me think about what the Apostle Paul was sharing in 1 Corinthians 3 as he's writing a letter to a church that he had been a part of in ministry. But this church that he was writing to encourage and to challenge really was becoming fragmented. It was they were kind of losing their way. In a big picture sense, Paul has a lot to say in a challenging way to this church, because they were being pulled in different directions. And so he's writing about the importance of staying focused on Christ and knowing that Christ is our foundation for life and godliness, and that in the faith that we are, while we are blessed by many different people, it's really Christ the one that is working. And that's really Paul's main thought here in chapter 3. And I want to begin in verse 5 and just kind of touch on some of the things that stuck out to me while we were in Guatemala. This is what Paul writes. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so I remember being in Bible college, and I had a missions class. We were learning about the history of missions and ways that missions is serving the world today. And I remember that perspective in Bible college and even in our first church of, like, my perspective of missions at that time was that missions was a siloed endeavor where, you had these big organizations that covered certain areas and a missionary was sent, and they would oversee a territory, and they were the ones responsible for everything that happened under their umbrella. And so it was a siloed attempt. And you would hear back these reports and think, okay, that's the missionary to this place or that place. And think, well, they're the ones that are involved in that kind of work. When you go to Antigua, and you serve with Limitless Ministries and Brent and Jody Harmon, what you begin to understand is that their ministry is not a siloed ministry. It is a networked ministry. It is a ministry that has reached out to different people in different circumstances, whether they are native Guatemalans who God has called to join with them in the work, or other missionaries that have been sent down. But it was amazing for us to meet people like Kelsey, who was from Mississippi, and her husband Chaco, who was from Guatemala, and their heart and burden for ministry, and how Chaco and Britt got this dream to be involved with Prayer Mountain, how they were gifted a piece of land on the top of a mountain next to volcanoes all around them, and that their heart was to provide space for Guatemalan pastors and for missionaries to be able to have a place to go and connect with God. And just that reality that even in a beautiful place like this, you still need time and space to slow down and connect with God. And so we also got to meet some other people. Well, like Eric said, with Diane and Justin and their ministry with House of Hope, with Barry and Marquita. Like, they're not all serving and under the same mission board, but they serve the same Lord. And it's important for us to understand that the landscape of missions is far different today than it was 20 years ago and even further. That the success of the people that God is using to bring forth the message of the gospel is becoming a more creative endeavor than it once was. And so that might mean, as some of our team challenged you, that might mean that God is calling you to partner with missionaries in a way that you never thought was possible. And that might mean that God is going to use you in a season of life to get up and go. And while I'd love to keep you here as long as we can, I also know that God may put a burden in your heart, like he did with several of the people that we met, to be used by God in a unique way to go somewhere where it's desperately needed. One of the things that we heard while we were down there, and Barry was talking to me about this, but the idea that if all of the missionaries pulled out of Guatemala all at once, their social structure would collapse. Because there really isn't a mechanism in place for all of the help needs that missionaries provide, the schooling, the orphanages, all of those things, that if all the missionaries just left, their structures would just collapse for meeting humanitarian needs in and around the country. And so their work is important. Guatemala is a unique place in that while it's a beautiful country, very close to first world countries, it lives in a third world country atmosphere. Just the oppression that exists in the country for people to not be able to rise up out of the station of life that they're in. It's a challenging work. And one of the things, this picture is taken at looking over the ancient city of Antigua. So that's Volcano Agua. It's a dormant volcano. It's not active. But that was the original capital city of Central America when the Spanish came in. So this is an ancient city. It is viewed as a World Heritage Site, as an ancient city. And so people from all over the world will flock to this town. And while we were there, they were in the process of celebrating, getting ready for Easter. Because it's a heavily Catholic country, because of the Spanish bringing Catholicism with them, there, while it is amazingly beautiful, it is also very spiritually dark. That there is a lot of people there that, because they live in the country, they think that they're Christian. They think that they know who Jesus is. And yet there are just in beautiful expressions of what are called alfombres, and you'll see some pictures of that in the slideshow, that during the season on the road, they'll make these beautiful creations to kind of express their worship and the beauty of the season. They think that by doing something like that, that is their ability to say to God, "We know you." But personally, there's this huge disconnect. And so these missionaries that are involved in the work, and this was something else that spoke to me, was the fact that they're not only doing things, but they're investing in people. And I would say to you, understand that whether God calls you to go to Guatemala or God calls you to go across the street where you live to meet someone, your investment in someone's life can have eternal value far beyond what you could even predict for yourself. But being present and loving someone and just showing up in their life is a big deal. And that's what Paul is getting to, because this fragmented church that was saying, you know, some are saying that they're from Paul, some are saying they're from Apollos. In chapter 1, we read that they were even saying, some of you are from Cephas, who is Peter. That this church was like taking sides, building camps and saying, you know, this is the one that taught me the gospel, or this is the pastor I like the most, or this is the Bible teacher that I listen to the most. And Paul writes and he says, it doesn't matter what any man does. It matters what God does, because this is God's work. We are God's people. This is His building. This is His field. And He is the one that is causing the growth. And I just want to challenge you, based on what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, all I can say is, do the part where God has you. You know, he uses the analogy of growing. And living in an agricultural community here in North Annville, you know, we see that especially this time of year. But when Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Like right now, as the farmers are taking care of their fields to get ready for the crops so that they're going to begin to plant, they can do all the work. You know, they can plow up the ground. They can put the value of the nutrition into the soil, and they can prepare it, make it look great and wonderful. They could bring out their sprinklers when it's in the dry season. They can do all of those things. The one thing that a farmer can't do that God can do is make that seed come alive. See, it's God's work and God's power to cause the growth. But for that seed to come alive, the farmer does need to be involved, engaged, to do his part. And maybe someone else is going to come along and water the ground for the person that planted. And maybe someone else will come along and pull out the weeds and cultivate and you know, bring in that crop when it's necessary to bring it in for harvest. But God is the one causing the growth. And so what I want you to see in a trip like this, and maybe where God would have you, is that, you know, it's not just getting away for a week and saying, okay, I went on a missions trip. It's saying, okay, God, how can I partner with your work by coming alongside of people that are involved in something and just be a part of the process? And you're not going to know exactly what the impact will be this side of heaven. But there will be an impact. And Paul alludes to that in verse 8. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Meaning, doesn't matter what you're doing, we're all the same. But then he goes on and he says, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Paul doesn't say that you will receive a reward for the fruit that comes from your labor. He says, you will receive a reward for your labor. So no matter what you're doing, wherever you find yourself, God's going to honor that. He's going to honor you. And it's an opportunity for you to serve and give back to Him. And so I would just like to invite you to begin praying now, because we're going to go back. Unless the Lord returns, we're going to go back. I'm not sure when we're going to go back, but we're going back. That begin praying, begin finding ways to get ready to go on a trip like that. and that when next time you read in the bulletin an announcement saying, hey, we're thinking about forming a team, don't think, oh my gosh, I didn't know we would ever go to Guatemala. You know, already be ready and say, yeah, you know what? I want to do something like that. I want to serve God in that way. And there's other opportunities for missions, but we're so thankful and grateful to tangibly come alongside the Harmons. As a missions committee, our church is just really committed to be able to support the missionaries that we serve in a very specific way to encourage them and to see what they're doing. And we got to see that with the Staleys, Barry and Marquita, and we got to see that with House of Hope and the orphanage. So it was just an amazing experience. So I'm grateful for this team. I'm grateful for their faithfulness to serve and for your prayers for us as we went. So we're going to close with a slideshow, just kind of like a, give you an idea, a taste of what we are involved with.